So imagine a 5 kilogram solid sphere, right? And it's just spinning.
Spinning incredibly fast, like 20 radians a second.
Exactly. Now wrap your head around this. Imagine erasing its physical existence from the center of a room and then reconstructing it 3 meters away.
Flawlessly, yeah.
Flawlessly, yeah, without breaking a single law of physics. Today, for you, our listener, we are taking teleportation completely out of the realm of science fiction and dropping it squarely into, well, rigorous cutting-edge mathematics.
Yeah, the math here is wild.
It really is. We're doing a custom deep dive into this totally fascinating theoretical framework. It's called a teleportation as ODCCT, 18 nonlinear DAF analysis.
What a mouthful.
Right. And the sources provided for this are just relentless. I mean, they cover an 18-dimensional phase space. They establish an entirely new branch of calculus.
And then they scale those exact same formulas all the way up to quantum gravity in the Big Bang. It's incredibly ambitious.
Truly. So the overarching mission of this framework is to decode the actual mathematical mechanisms of teleportation, right?
Right. It completely shatters that popular illusion that an object just vanishes into thin air and reappears by magic.
No magic here.
None at all. The math actually demonstrates that teleportation is a continuous topological shortcut through higher dimensional space. I mean, an object undergoing teleportation never actually ceases to exist.
Okay, let's unpack this, because if this continuous topological shortcut is real, it completely redefines spatial movement.
It fundamentally changes what it means to travel from point A to point B.
But before we can even plot a shortcut, the sources insist we have to dramatically expand how we measure the object in the first place, right? Plotting an object in standard 3D space with X, Y, and Z coordinates is just
It's entirely insufficient for teleportation. Three dimensions only tell you where the object's center of mass happens to be at, like one frozen microsecond.
Which isn't enough data.
Not even close. To teleport a physical system, you have to achieve absolute state continuity. You have to capture its complete physical reality so that it can be transitioned across a manifold.
And a manifold is basically a mathematical surface that acts as the shortcut.
Exactly. But to do that without destroying the object, you have to plot it in an 18-dimensional phase space.
18 dimensions. I mean, when we talk about mapping this in an 18 degree of freedom phase space, we aren't just plotting basic kinematics.
Right, you have the standard Cartesian coordinates for position, velocity, and acceleration.
And that covers the first 9 degrees. But the real computational friction seems to happen in the rotational dynamics, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You have orientation, angular velocity, and angular acceleration. And each of those requires three coordinates of their own.
So that's 3 times 3, making another 9, 18 total.
Yeah.
And you have to lock down all 18 simultaneously.
You do. That simultaneous lockdown is the only way to define the absolute state. I mean, if you miss the angular acceleration of an object as it enters a teleportation event.
The moment it reappears, the internal forces just tear it apart.
Exactly. Which brings us to the CCT framework, or conditional collapse theory. Teleporting 18 dimensions of continuous data isn't some passive event.
No, the sources say it requires an artificial intelligence.
Right, an AI navigating a highly rigid computational lattice of 100 distinct physics questions.
100 questions. And the AI is basically searching for the minimum energy path through the phase space, right?
Yes, it's analyzing momentum conservation, the energy costs of moving the mass.
And ensuring information is strictly preserved.
Right, to satisfy the no cloning theorem. It calculates the mathematical friction of balancing all those constraints before it collapses the paradox into a solvable state.
So it's kind of computing a bridge.
Basically, it creates an updated state vector for all 18 degrees of freedom at the destination coordinate, ensuring that the kinetic energy going in is precisely what comes out.
Okay, but wait, if this mathematical path is truly continuous, I'm stuck on a glaring physical paradox here.
Let's hear it.
Well, continuous means unbroken, right? If the object never ceases to exist and its path is unbroken, why doesn't it literally tear through the wall of the room while it travels to the new coordinate?
That's the intuitive question, yeah.
I mean, we should see it moving between point A and point B, shouldn't we?
What's fascinating here is that the paradox dissolves completely when you separate the geometry of the physical room from the geometry of the phase space.
Okay, how so?
Because the continuous path exists exclusively within that 18-dimensional mathematical construct, not in our physical 3D space. The topological manifold is the path.
So the object isn't flying invisibly through the air.
Exactly. Rather, its absolute physical state is being translated along a structural relationship that connects the origin and destination in higher dimensions.
It bridges the gap between normal physics and the teleportation event by warping the topology itself.
Right, so it never actually has to occupy the intervening physical space.
Which means we need to talk about the actual mechanism of that translation. Because, you know, surviving a mathematical warp on paper is one thing, but standard calculus is entirely built on smooth, continuous curves.
It is. In standard ordinary differential equations, or ODEs, position and velocity are continuously linked over time.
Right. You can't just introduce a sudden break in the trajectory without the math completely failing.
In standard calculus, absolutely does break down at the teleportation boundary. When you plot a teleportation event, you actually create a massive mathematical singularity at the exact instant the jump occurs.
A moment the framework designates as T star.
Correct. And to resolve this T star singularity, the authors introduce a new math, non-ordinary differential calculus, or NODC.
Here's where it gets really interesting, I think, because the core of this NODC relies on modeling that singularity as a Dirac delta.
Yes, an infinite spike at T star.
Right. And normally, if you integrate an infinite spike at a physics equation, it just spits out an undefined error.
Ruins the calculation.
Exactly. You can't just invent a new calculus with literal gaps in time and expect the object to magically rematerialize. So how does integrating this massive spike actually encode the precise coordinates of the new timeline?
Well, the solution lies in the core axiom of NODC. It's known as the teleport invariant.
The teleport invariant.
Right. In standard calculus, that infinite spike represents a total loss of continuity. But in NODC, the integral...
Little mathematical area under that Dirac delta spike?
Yes. That area is not undefined. It perfectly equals the exact finite jump in position and velocity required to reach the destination.
Oh, wow. So the area under the spike literally is the bridge. It geometrically encodes the positional shift.
Exactly. It acts as a strict enforcement mechanism. At TSAR, the object mathematically dislodges from the visible ODE manifold of our normal timeline.
So time itself in this framework has these singular moments where continuous flow is just severed.
Yes, but the teleport invariant ensures that the singularity acts as a topological fold, connecting the origin branch directly to the destination branch.
Seamlessly. The fold guarantees that all 18 degrees of freedom are translated across the gap. Information is strictly conserved because the geometry of the fold allows zero variance.
Okay, but enforcing that teleport invariant in physical reality obviously requires an immense amount of computational oversight, which brings us back to the simulation detailed in the sources.
Right, they don't just leave this as abstract theory.
No, they run the CCT artificial intelligence against a very aggressive scenario. We are looking at a 5-kilogram solid sphere spinning at 20 radians per second, being teleported from the origin to the coordinate 10, 5, 3.
And that simulation rigorously tests the friction of those 18 dimensions. The AI first has to calculate the pre-teleport energy state, taking into account both the linear mass and the rotational inertia.
And the sources say the sphere has an exact energy value of 48.5 joules.
Right. So to satisfy the teleport invariant, the energy constraint upon rematerialization must remain flawlessly locked at 48.5 joules.
Meaning the linear velocity and the rotational speed are completely preserved. They are. However, the AI has to mathematically normalize the orientation using something called a modulo wrap.
That modulo wrap is such a fascinating computational necessity because if the sphere has been spinning rapidly before it hits the T-star singularity, it has accumulated a massive amount of rotational radians.
Exactly. Say it rotated 58 radians.
Right. If the AI tries to rebuild the object at the destination with an orientation of 58 radians, the state vector would be violently distorted.
It would be a mess. Yeah. So it basically divides out the full rotations and only applies the remainder.
Wrapping it back to, like, 0.785 radians, it's like the hands of a clock just wrapping around past 12.
Perfect analogy. Normalizing the topological angle is the only way to prevent the state vector from collapsing under its own accumulated data.
So it preserves the absolute physical reality without carrying over all that redundant rotational history.
Precisely. But, you know, the simulation doesn't just demonstrate a successful jump. It probes the absolute limits of the system through what they call the chaotic extension.
And the chaotic extension is terrifying. I mean, the framework reveals that the P-star singularity operates as a massive chaos amplifier.
It does. In standard classical physics, if you have a tiny measurement error, that error compounds slowly over time.
But during a teleportation jump, the non-ordinary calculus behaves completely differently. If the AI has a mere 1% error in its initial observation of the sphere's state,
that error explodes by roughly 100 times the moment it crosses the singularity.
100 times? Just from crossing the gap?
Yeah, because the topological detachment removes all the standard dampening forces of physical space. The errors don't just compound, they multiply exponentially across those 18 degrees of freedom.
Wow.
And the AI's mapping isolates the single most catastrophic vulnerability in the entire process.
Yeah.
The mathematical link between angular velocity, which is denoted as omegas, and orientation, denoted as thetas.
That is coupling. So the speed of the spin coupled with the exact axis it's pointing on. Why is that specific coupling so mathematically explosive?
Because it creates extreme gyroscopic instability at the moment of topological reinsertion. If you have even a microscopic misalignment in the yaw,
the theta's axis.
Right. If you have a misalignment there, while the sphere is maintaining a high angular velocity, the interroll across the Dirac delta skews. The teleport singularity amplifies that specific rotational error by over 200 times.
200 times. Managing that deadly coupling is like, it's like trying to perfectly balance a rapidly spinning gyroscope while the table underneath it abruptly ceases to exist.
That is exactly what it's like. The physical forces involved are immense.
If that 5-kilogram sphere re-enters physical space with a 200-fold error in its angular momentum, it wouldn't just miss the target coordinate by a full meter, right?
No, the internal shear forces of reappearing at a skewed rotational angle would likely shatter it instantly.
It would just explode.
The gyroscopic shear would rip the manifold apart before it could even fully materialize. And this is exactly why the CCT system operates under a rigid, non-negotiable control strategy.
Okay, what does the AI do?
During the pre-teleport phase, the AI assesses the angular velocity. If the sphere is spinning too rapidly,
specifically anything approaching or exceeding 20 radians per second based on the simulation.
Right. The AI is actually forced to expend its own computational energy to actively dampen the spin. It has to reduce it below a safe threshold of 15 radians per second before initiating the jump.
So it literally has to manually break the object before it can safely fold the space.
Exactly.
But wait, what happens if the AI calculates that the energy required to dampen the spin, like, exceeds the total energy allowed for the teleportation event?
Then the AI triggers a hard stop. It outputs an insufficient work budget error.
It just aborts.
Yes. The system mathematically proves that the chaotic explosion of errors at the T-star singularity would be completely unrecoverable.
Meaning the teleport invariant would be violated.
Precisely. Rather than risking a catastrophic reinsertion, the system outright refuses to open the topological fault.
It's incredible to see teleportation treated with such heavy mechanical consequences. We have this invisible 18-dimensional math wrestling with the chaotic, explosive spin of a 5-kilogram sphere.
It's very grounded.
It is. But the sources refuse to isolate this framework just to moving objects across a room. They take this math and they scale it up to the entire universe. So what does this all mean when we scale these equations up?
Applying the fold algorithm to cosmology offers a really profound solution to one of the most stubborn deadlocks in modern physics.
Which is unifying the smooth, continuous fabric of general relativity with the discrete, quantized jumps of quantum mechanics.
Exactly. Standard physics treats these as two entirely incompatible regimes. But this framework argues that space-time itself is not perfectly smooth.
It fundamentally rewrites general relativity to include topological folds. But, I mean, if you rewrite the foundational rules of gravity, you risk breaking all the physics we already know works perfectly well.
And the authors anticipated that exact scrutiny. So they ran the fold algorithm backward against the most stringent empirical tests of standard general relativity.
And the math holds up?
It holds up flawlessly. The algorithm perfectly reproduces the observed wobble in Mercury's orbit.
It's perihelion precession.
Right, nailing the calculation at 42.98 arcuricus seconds per century.
Yeah.
It also effortlessly derives the exact microsecond time dilation corrections that GPS satellites require to remain synced with receivers on Earth.
So the non-ordinary calculus perfectly mimics normal everyday physics when observed at a macro scale.
Yes. It doesn't break our current models. It just adds a much deeper geometric layer to them.
That is wild.
And the true utility of the fold algorithm emerges exactly where standard general relativity collapses.
Like black holes.
Exactly. In standard models, the center of the black hole is an undefined singularity, a point of infinite density where all our mathematical equations just output gibberish.
Right.
Under NODC, that black hole singularity isn't an error in the math. It is modeled perfectly as a massive stable fold in the spatial manifold.
A macro scale version of the exact same teleportation jump the 5-kilogram sphere makes.
Yes, it's a topological shortcut created by extreme gravity.
And the sources take this logic all the way back to the origin of the universe, don't they? The Big Bang is no longer treated as a mathematical impossibility where all matter springs from a zero-dimensional point.
No, it is modeled as the primordial unfolding. The entire universe began as an initial, tightly wound fold in the manifold that suddenly released, expanding into continuous space-time.
And that folding action is still happening constantly at the absolute microscopic limit of reality, isn't it?
It is. Down at the Planck scale, which is the smallest measurable length possible, space-time is not a static void. It is a turbulent foam of fluctuating topological folds.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, we started this deep dive looking at how to map an object across 18 dimensions of phase space, wrestling with an AI that uses an entirely new branch of calculus to bridge gaps in continuous time.
Right.
We examine the catastrophic gyroscopic forces of a spinning sphere surviving a topological singularity. And all of that localized, hyperspecific mathematics scales up seamlessly to prove that black holes and the Big Bang are just massive spatial folds.
It unifies the teleportation of a physical object with the quantum gravity of the entire universe. It proves that movement and time are not rigid constraints. They are deeply malleable geometries.
The structural complexity is staggering. What we perceive as empty space is actually actively participating in the movement of matter.
Precisely.
I want to leave you, our listener, with one final, deeply provocative reality drawn straight from these equations.
Yeah.
The framework mathematically dictates that at that microscopic Planck scale, the fabric of space-time is folding and unfolding 10 to the 43rd power times every single second.
It's an unfathomable number.
That is 10 to the 43rd times a second that subatomic particles are traversing topological shortcuts. If the microscopic foundation of the universe is folding millions of trillions of times a second just to sustain reality, is the illusion of you moving continuously through physical space just a macro scale lie?
It really makes you wonder.
Are you right now simply micro teleporting your way through an endlessly folding universe? Something to think about.